Hello, hello, and welcome to Pish Posh with Lindsay Wilson, a podcast about prioritizing passion. Each week, we cover topics in the personal development space, including things like money, finance, business, entrepreneurship, mindset, and seriously, whatever else I'm feeling extra passionate about that week. These conversations are meant to encourage you to prioritize your passion. Welcome to the party. I'm so glad you're here. Let's get into it. Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Pish Posh with Lindsay Wilson. I am back with my co-host Casey B, and today we are talking about a ton of different ways to set goals for the new year. So last year I did an episode about setting goals, and it was a little bonus episode that released on New Year's Eve, but I wanted to do it a little bit earlier this year because there's a lot of different ways you can set goals, and I kind of talk about just, like I said, a bunch of different ways. So you'll find one way that you enjoy, I promise, out of all these different styles that I'm giving you. But before we get into that, which I'm so passionate about goal setting, it's like one of my favorite things to do. So I really enjoyed talking about that. And oh, it was fun. But that is just me talking about the goal setting stuff. So right now, Casey and I will be talking about our highs and lows, our toasts and roasts from the week. And you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. I want you to go first.
All right. I came prepared today.
All right.
All right. You want a roast or a toast?
I want a toast.
Toast? So my big toast of the week was not having COVID.
That was going to be my toast.
Oh, well, we have a joint toast.
So we didn't talk about it last week because you might have had COVID, but you were waiting on your test results. I didn't really want to talk about it because there's a stigma about people who get COVID. And you know what? That's annoying too. And that is just really frustrating because people get sick. It is what it is. But we found out that you tested negative for COVID.
COVID negative.
Thank the Lord. So that was exciting. And oh my gosh, but it was really interesting. I listened to something today, and it was Dr. Drew talking, so people will have certain opinions about Dr. Drew, but he worked during the AIDS epidemic, and he was talking about how people were not blaming in the way that they are now, like, for the spread of AIDS. They weren't saying, how dare you? Like, they're saying, oh no, you got it too, and, you know, the spread is very different, but like, seriously, the shame of people who are sick is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But you didn't have COVID. You're no negative. COVID. What I'm really excited about is because you got the antibodies test.
No, I did not.
What?
No, I did not.
You said you were going to get it.
No, I have to get it. They said they do the antibodies test 2 weeks after.
I thought you got the results 2 weeks after.
No, you get it. The actual test itself.
That's a huge bummer.
And so it's like, I probably just have to call my doctor, which I have never seen before, an actual family doctor.
Well, I thought you were going to get your antibodies results in like 2 weeks.
No.
But you're getting your test in like 2 weeks.
No, they didn't want to poke me.
Oh, that's annoying. Yeah. I want to know about the antibodies.
Well, I didn't want them to poke me either, but, you know, I wanted to know about that.
Well, shoot. That was my toast, too.
That was your toast, too.
I'm happy you don't have COVID.
I had a secondary toast.
Oh, great. So you stole mine and you have another.
You hijacked my toast. What are you talking about?
I know. I guess it was about you.
My other one was playing Sudoku with you last night and having a battle.
Okay. So, yeah, because you're a nerd and you love Sudoku.
Yeah, it's fun.
And I do not like it very much, but I finally kind of got into it a little bit.
Yeah, you're changing your ways.
I liked it because we were competing. I can't do it by myself.
We're going to have a Sudoku battle royale. It's going to be great.
Because we had this little booklet and it had Sudoku little puzzles on each page. So Casey was working on one page and I was working on the other page. We're racing. So I think we should do it again.
Yes, we should. I agree.
But you're way better at Sudoku than I am.
No.
Yeah. So I think it's like the nerdiest game ever. We were doing level one and there's like 5 levels in there. So... you want me to do my roast since you just...
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Is your roast good? If it's not very good, it's you go iffy. First. You go. I mean,
yeah, so my roast was my truck started making terrible, terrible noises. What was that? Wednesday.
This is really upsetting news.
Oh, it's going to be more upsetting.
I really don't want to hear it. I really don't know why you waited until we're recording to tell me this, because I'm really, I do not like hearing this kind of stuff.
So I went down to the mechanic and I'm like, I'm pretty sure this is what it is. And he confirmed that. And do you want to take a guess on what it was?
Transmission.
No, it was just the AC pump.
Okay.
So I don't have AC anymore. That's why I thought you'd be sad.
Well, it's not hot out, so.
I know. I'm like, I'm not going to need it. And I don't really use it in the summer anyway.
Don't you use the AC pump when it gets all foggy in the truck, though?
No, I use the defrost.
Those are two separate things.
Those are two different things.
On my on my old car, I literally, and on my new car, I literally have no idea. No, my new car, I think I know what button to press, but on my old car, I never knew which one to do to make it like defrost.
So you'd press the snowflake.
I would do like all of them. I was like, there's a certain one where you do it and it's supposed to be like warm temperature, and certain things you're supposed to do and it's supposed to be cold temperature. And I think mine was broken on that car before too. I was like, I don't know. So there's one time I'm driving over the pass, like, and there's snow, it's during the winter, and like all my windows are down because everything's fogged up and I didn't know what to do.
Oh man,
I'm a disaster. This is why I don't drive.
Yeah, so it wasn't really a major problem at all. It's just, that's why I didn't tell you earlier.
Well, I don't care.
I know you have your new fancy newfangled vehicle.
Yeah, well, yeah. You can borrow it if you want to.
Okay.
It has AC and heated seats.
God. If I ever have to use AC and heated seats at the same time, that's a problem.
I think that sounds nice. So my roast happened yesterday. I go on my walk in the trails by our house, which I do basically on a daily basis. And I've noticed that there's often dogs with their owners who are not on the leash. And I think that's really frustrating because there's not a lot of room. These are not trails that are like big sidewalks, like it's little trails. And if your dog is just running up past you, they could just keep running and like jump on somebody. And you know, I'm fine, I'm able-bodied, whatever. But like, if they just jumped up on a kid or an older person, that's not cool. Most of the dogs, though, they're fine. I have noticed a lot more people, though, bagging up their dog shit and then just leaving it anywhere and not throwing it in the trash. And that's annoying, too.
Well, that's stupid.
So people are going to get mad at me for this one because I sound like I'm anti-dog, which people freak out about, but I'm not. I love dogs. I like old, calm dogs. And this guy was walking through. He's doing a FaceTime. You know, that's just annoying. If you're out in the wilderness, you're FaceTiming somebody, what are you doing?
In the wilderness. The wilderness of Gig Harbor.
It's like literally trees everywhere. It's the forest. It's not, I mean, obviously it's not the real wilderness, but if people are going out there to relax and you're just FaceTiming somebody, like, oh, whatever. So he's on FaceTime, and then this tiny little Chihuahua dog is running up towards me. And, you know, I'm not scared of a Chihuahua dog, but also sometimes those are the dogs that are mean.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It was mean. It was, like, barking at me, like, just really barking at me, and I thought it was going to, like, jump up on me. And if it jumps up on me, like, whatever, it's not going to, like, get me. If it bites me, that's not going to be good. But the other thing that's annoying is that, like, if something jumps up on you, you should be able to, like, you know, kick it away or something. But also, people will be like, how dare you be mean to my dog?
You kicked my dog.
Right.
What are you doing?
And so it didn't jump up on me, but it's aggressively barking at me, and Chihuahuas are mean. So I'm like, just like looking at this guy, like, hello. And he goes, oh, sorry about that. She doesn't bite. Like, I'm the weird one for, like, looking afraid of the dog. I'm like, you should have your dog on a leash because this is a public area and it could run away. And it was so annoying. And then he makes me seem like the idiot for being like, backing up, kind of, when this dog is, like, an aggressive little dog. And I've seen other dogs in this area off their leash, and they're super nice. And, like, a bigger, actually cute, fluffy dog jumped up on my leg the other day, and its owner was like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, it should jump on you. I was like, it was a nice jump. It was not aggressively, like, barking and looking angry. Like, this dog was, it had the look. And
like Cujo?
I didn't like it. It made me mad. And so if you're going to freaking walk your dog somewhere, put it on a leash and pick up its poop. That's so annoying.
Oh, man. That just makes me think about, like, back when we used to play hockey on the lake back in Port Angeles. And there was one of the neighbors had a little rat terrier.
Yeah.
Or I don't know what it was, actually. It was a little tiny dog. Mean, though.
I know. And I guess it sounds like we're, like, discriminatory against small dogs. But
they got small dog syndrome.
Yippy ones that are, like, it looked angry, too.
But, yeah, it would always, I remember it came up, I mean, we were playing hockey, I'm wearing ice skates, and it starts biting at my legs.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, get your dog away, it's gonna get, like, its foot cut off or something. Like, yeah, he does that. I'm like, shouldn't.
Yeah, and there's, like, certain dog people who would be like, make you the bad guy. That doesn't sound like they're just like, oh, just kind of carefree about their dog, like, they'll figure it out, but... You also never know about people, so
yeah.
That's the annoying thing. And also, okay, one more roast about, I just had to share this. I forgot to take a picture of it today, but this giant poster has been, like, outside of the entry to this trail area for about a week. And it's, like, on a full poster board and a printed out, like, 8x10 of this cat for a lost cat. And, you know, I understand people get sad when they lose their pets, but has anyone actually ever found a cat from a missing cat poster? I don't think so. And this cat, it says, I can't, it says missing. Philip the business cat.
I'm not even kidding. That is awesome.
I was like, what the heck?
I want to find that.
What does that mean? And I like when pets have people names, but
Philip the business cat.
Yeah, so that's what's going on. I guess maybe this is, like, actually a pet park or something that's going on. I don't know. Because I swear everyone in this who's walking in this area has a dog with them except for me. So it's frustrating.
Oh, every time I see a cat poster, it just reminds me of the prank that we did back when I was in high school.
What was that?
I've told you about that. It was
You haven't told the listeners.
I haven't told them, so I guess I got to tell them.
And also, I don't remember because you tell me a lot of random things.
So we played a prank on one of my friends and made a lost cat poster, but it was with a picture of a cougar.
Oh, I remember that now.
And how he, I wrote this long paragraph and put our buddy's phone number at the bottom. It's like, call if seen, but it was, like, super descriptive. And we posted it on all the bar doors and, like, the grocery stores on the west side of town. And
why would you do that?
I was a hoodlum.
It doesn't sound like a very funny prank to me.
Oh, it was great because we were hanging out with him and he kept on getting these calls.
Why would people call?
Because
that's a dated prank. People don't make calls anymore.
Because there's all these. It started around, like, 6:30 and it was all these drunk guys calling, just, man, if I see your cat, I'm going to shoot that thing. So I'm like, it was a 135-pound cougar named Fluffy.
Whatever. This is a dumb prank.
Oh, it was great.
You can't believe we wasted time talking about
all
that.
Night. It was great.
Let us know if you think it was a good prank or a dumb prank. So I guess I should also do my podcast recommendation of the week. So I feel like I keep switching between these two podcasts. So, like, my top two podcasts of the year are probably This Past Weekend with Theo Vaughn and the Token CEO podcast with Erica Nardini. And the Token CEO podcast had a great episode this week. I believe it came out on Monday. Now I gotta look at a calendar so you guys can find it if you are looking it up. But She interviewed 3 restaurant owners in LA, and it was December 7th when it came out. And it was just really informative about what officials are doing in LA County. And it is not exactly the governor, it is county supervisors. And I think it's very important to understand who is making what decisions and why they're making these decisions. And they really talked about how the restaurant owners, no one was consulting any of them, and the county supervisors who said that they cannot do any more dining services, only takeout. Basically, they didn't give any data to back it up, and it's just ridiculous. And they were saying how people were just gonna drive to other counties then. If this, you can't do it in LA County, they're just gonna drive to another county on the weekend to go get food and have a nice dinner out. So it was a lot more than that, but it was really interesting. And gosh, you can also see some similar things happening at the governor level of making decisions in Washington State, but it's really interesting how California is being monitored, but it's just really interesting that it's at the county level they're making these decisions, where in Washington State, a similar decision was just made at the statewide level. But if you guys don't really care about restaurants, then you won't really care about this. But I think everyone eats at restaurants, and it's just was super informative to hear these people who were making all these updates to try to be, you know, as cleanly as possible and making the experience as good as possible and basically pivoting and following all the rules. And then they get shut down like again, like, I just feel for them. So it's really interesting to hear from a business perspective. So that's my recommendation of the week. And then the rest of the episode, I'll be talking about goal setting, because it's almost the new year. And I know some people don't like New Year's resolutions, but you can still set goals for yourself that you want to accomplish. And this is kind of an evergreen episode because you can set goals at any time of the year, but the new year is kind of just a nice time to do it. And I talk about a lot of different ways to do that. So it's not just your normal, you know, write down 5 things you want to do in the year and just do them. So I talk about keeping track of them and kind of different styles of writing goals, because if you don't like the normal, usual way, then I probably have some different ideas for you that you might enjoy. So hope you enjoy that, and I'll be right back. And I'm back, and I'm so excited because this is one of my absolute favorite things to talk about. So it is the end of the year, which means it is time to set new goals. And I know some people hate New Year's resolutions, but I do not. I absolutely love them. And there are ones that I have followed through, and I really like looking at it as goals rather than resolutions. And I'll talk about that a little bit, but I have a ton of different ways that you can set goals and track your goals. And there's so many different ways that I have that I use. I do all of them in little bits and pieces of my life. So if you don't like one way that I'm talking about, I think you'll like another way that I'm talking about, because there's like something for everything in this. Okay, so last year, New Year's Eve, I did an episode. It's a bonus episode. You guys can go back and listen to it because it's all about SMART goals. So when we talk about New Year's resolutions, I really like to say SMART goals. And I did this episode, and then seriously, I saw like 4 more podcast episodes talk about SMART goals, but I think I did it first, but I did not invent them. And I think I talked about it a little bit better than some of these influencers did. So SMART goals, SMART. So specific and measurable are the two that are really important to think about. Time-based, or the T stands for time, no matter what you're doing. And basically, usually when you're looking at a New Year's goal or resolution, your time frame is 1 year. So this would be the 2021 year. Other times, your goal might be this month, this week, this quarter, etc. So making your goals really specific and measurable is the most important thing. So just saying, you know, I want to be happier, I want to be skinnier, or I want to read more, but you're not saying how much more is. I want to eat healthier. What does that really mean? So that's, I want to save money. How much money? How do you want to do it? Because if you're not specific, you're not going to get it done. And if you're not measuring it, you're not going to stay accountable to yourself. Attainable and realistic just basically means not setting the bar like so far out there that it's not going to happen. Like if you say, oh, I want to be a millionaire by the end of 2021 and you have no idea how you're going to get there and you are at a set salary at your job and you're not looking at doing other work or anything like that, like that's just not realistic. Maybe take a couple steps in between where you're at right now and then your millionaire goal. So just being realistic. That's always the thing that I want to say. Also, I will kind of poke fun at Casey on this one because he's not here and I can do that. But he said on one of our goal setting podcast episodes, because we've done more than one, one of them, he said he wanted to run like 5 miles a week, or maybe even it was 5 miles a month or something. And I was like, that is insane. You never run. You haven't run. Maybe you've ran once in the 7 years that we've been together. So he's not like, that was just silly to me. Whereas somebody else might make that their goal and it's totally realistic. They just need to stay consistent with it. Somebody I followed, their goal was to run 1,000 miles in the year of 2020. And I guess they were like really close to that. They kept up with it. But, you know, if I said I was going to run 1,000 miles in 2020 and I've only ran like 5 miles this year, that's just not realistic. So realistic and attainable are important because you want to achieve these. You don't want to disappoint yourself. And if you don't accomplish your goal, you know, it's not a huge deal, but that's just the important part. Making smart goals. And what I like to say is having different categories. So I have a reading goal for myself. I have a financial goal for myself. I have kind of fitness goals for myself. I didn't really hone in on that one too much last year, but I might this year. And then there's also big goals that you might have that are not as consistent or habit forming. So if we're talking about reading, that's a number, like my goal is probably going to be 50 books in 2021. So that's a number, you're keeping track of it for the whole year. Whereas other ones might be, oh, I'm doing this once a week. And then other ones are kind of one big step, like my goal was to buy a new car and I did that. That's like one big step. So there's a lot of different kinds. So just recognizing what those are, what your time frame is, how specific you're being, that's really important. So that kind of goes with the classic New Year's resolution style, writing down your different goals in these different categories of your life. I like to do 5 big ones for the year, but you can do 1, 2, 3, 10. I don't know how many you want to do, but that is what I like to do. Another thing with that is experiences. So maybe places you want to travel or things you want to do that are not like a habit, like run a 5K. So that's kind of a one-time thing. You check it off your list. It's an experience you had. You're done. Like travel to California. You can check it off the list. You're done. Go to Disneyland, you know, whatever. So that is kind of the first one I wanted to talk about because it's the most basic. There's a lot of other things you can do for setting goals for the year and tracking your goals for the year. That can be a lot of fun. So the next one I'm going to talk about is a vision board. And I know some people think this is a little woo-woo or I don't know what to call it, but whatever. Like I said, some of these will be totally right up your alley and some of these will not be in your zone. And that's perfectly fine because like I said, I have something for everyone. So vision boards. You can do this a lot of different ways. And I think the most common way you think of a vision board is cutting out pictures and phrases that you like from magazines or whatever, catalogs, and then putting them on a cork board and you're like, this is my vision board. So that is one way to do it. Another way, a little bit more technologically advanced, is making vision boards online, on your computer, on your phone, or on Pinterest. So it's really easy to do. If you have a Pinterest account, you can basically just name a board vision board and pin all these kind of things that you want. Maybe you want this kind of new car, pin pictures of the car. Maybe you want your house to look like this, pin that. Maybe you want your job to look like this, pin that. The great thing about Pinterest is there are so many things. I've talked about Pinterest a million times, but you can find an image for basically anything you want. You can also make your board secret so nobody sees it if you don't want to, but you can go back and look at it whenever. It's just an archive there and it's just for you. And when I scroll through things in my Pinterest, it really makes me like nice and calm. I just like to look at it. It's very aesthetically pleasing. So that's one way to do it. You can also kind of take screenshots of things you find on the internet. And if you want to get a little bit more advanced, use Photoshop Mix, I believe is the app. And you can put things together, make it your, make a picture. And then you can make that picture the wallpaper on your phone. So you're constantly seeing that. So I've done that. The one I have on my phone right now, I made about 2 years ago. So I need to make a new one. But that is something I really like, to have it somewhere, no matter what your vision board is, make it very easily accessible, something you either see without even thinking about it. So like on your phone, the background of your laptop, the like somewhere in your house. So you just like walk by and see it, or on Pinterest like that, so it's really easily accessible. And the reason I really like the vision board is because it is so visual and it's all pictures. You don't really have, it's a lot less analytical, and keeping that in front of you is a constant reminder, oh, I'm working towards this. It doesn't really talk about how you're going to get there or anything like that, but it's just like it keeps those end goals right at your front of your mind because you're looking at it all the time. And it should make you happy and excited to see these kind of things because you're like, oh, I really like this. I love looking at this house. This is what I want my house to look like. And then, or I just love looking at this car. If your vision board is making you feel sad and you're like, oh, this is all the stuff that I really like and I'm never going to have it, then the vision board is not for you. That's not going to be a good time for you. So if you're into the vision board, I definitely suggest trying it out. It's a lot of fun. That is the next one I'm doing for goals. And it doesn't have to be just in 2021, but you can make a specific one each year, each quarter, if you really wanted to. So if you think the last one, the vision board that I said, was a little out there and woo-woo, as they say, and, you know, all that jazz, you're really probably not going to love this one, but maybe you will. The next thing I wanted to talk about is scripting. So it is a manifestation tool or practice or whatever you want to call it. But basically, it is a form of journaling where you write out what you want as if it had already happened. So the way that I learned how to do this was writing about a perfect day from literal start to finish, waking up in your bed, how do you feel? And you're supposed to be writing it as if you're writing about your day that happened. And if it is completely different than how your day actually went, that's perfectly fine. It's kind of just an exercise to get your mind being like, oh, this is everything that I would like to see in a day. So it could be a dream day, like a vacation, like an adventure, but I prefer to do it on a normal work day because it helps me clarify what I want my days to look like. So you write down, I woke up today in my bed, I looked out my window, this is what I saw, this is where I live, this is what I ate for breakfast, this is what I do for work, this is what I did during my lunchtime, this is what I did in the afternoon, after work, this is what I did to relax, I went here, I went there, these are the errands I ran or didn't run, this is when I worked out, and this is what I did before bed, this is what I did before falling asleep, and then I fell asleep and it was a perfect day. So that's kind of how that works in a really rushed way. So scripting, you're supposed to just write it out as if it had happened to you. And why I really enjoy this is because when I'm writing things down, a lot more things just come to mind, like, oh, this is what I would like. And I enjoy writing all the little details. It's kind of just a fun exercise, but it has really helped me clarify, oh, this is what's important to me. This is not important to me. That is, I should try to make time for that in my day instead of, you know, scrolling on my phone, when some of these little changes that you'd like to see in your life are a lot easier than you make it, because they're right there. Just kind of adjust certain things. Other things that you might write down, like where you live or what you do for work or anything like that, those are definitely possibly bigger changes, but the little day-to-day changes are what you can do right now that you might not even realize until you start writing these things down or thinking about a perfect day from start to finish. So that's scripting. So I went from SMART goals to vision boards to scripting, and now I'm going to get back on the analytical side of things and data. And so if you're not into the woo-woo, the daydreamer aspect, this next one is for you. So we are moving from one end of the spectrum to the other, from the daydreamy, you know, big dream out there, more fruity stuff, to the nitty-gritty data side of things. And you're talking, why are we talking about data? These are supposed to be fun, resolutions, goals, that kind of stuff. Like, why does it have to be so much work? Sometimes there's people out there who really enjoy tracking their progress, or, you know, making spreadsheets and seeing what they're doing, looking at the data. That's fun for them. So I actually started a spreadsheet on all of the books that I've read the past 3 years, and I love it. I love it so much. I can see the different, I wrote down genres, authors, if they're male or female authors, how many pages they were, and I really enjoy tracking that information now, and I'm going to continue doing that. So I really see this being beneficial for people who want to track things in fitness, in reading, in health, or money. So things that are really easily trackable, maybe your workouts, putting them all on a spreadsheet. This kind of makes me think of, like I said, somebody who wants to run 1,000 miles in a year, like saying, okay, this day I did 4, I did 5, I did 10, I did 4 again. Like those, keeping track of those in a spreadsheet can be really fun. There's a million different apps out there to keep track of your savings, to keep track of your workouts, to keep track of what you eat. So whether it's a spreadsheet or an app, just keeping that handy and continuing to look at it and making a habit of updating that. The thing that's not fun is when you kind of lose track of it and then you're like, oh, it's actually work to put all this stuff together. But once you kind of make it a habit and continually put this information on there, it kind of becomes a fun thing to do, to track your progress and seeing your patterns. I think this is especially helpful in the health and fitness kind of thing, because you can see different months, or if you're sick, or different things that might be surrounding you. So spreadsheets, and then I'm also going to talk about habit tracking. So I use a habit tracker in my bullet journal. So I've talked about my bullet journal quite a bit, and I think one of the most valuable things in my bullet journal is my weekly habit trackers. So if I have goals to read every day, to journal every day, to work out every day, I keep those in my bullet journal and I cross them off each day. So there's a lot of different ways to do this, and like I said, there's probably apps that'll help you do this as well on your phone. Or you can make your own spreadsheet again. But the way I do this is handwritten in my bullet journal. I also have my yearly goals in my bullet journal. So that's the first page of my bullet journal each year, is my goals for the year. And then each week I have little habits I want to keep track of. So if you want to write it down, you could also write it down in your normal planner if you use a planner, and just do like abbreviations. So like W for workout, R for reading, and then you just write that every day of the week in a checkbox if you do it, and a blank checkbox if you don't do it. That's just something I also encourage a lot, and I could talk about bullet journals forever, and it will come up again in this little chit chat I'm doing, because I keep track of a lot of my goals in my bullet journal, but I won't go off on that because it's a little nerdy. So we've got the SMART goals, the big goals for the year. We've got a vision board, which is a visual. It's fun to see every day. It is just kind of more daydreaming. One of my favorite quotes actually is, daydreaming is a form of planning. And I love planning. I love setting goals. I love daydreaming. So it's just the perfect quote for me. So we have SMART goals, we have vision board, we have scripting or just journaling in general. And then we've got habit tracking and working in spreadsheets to keep track of your goals. The last one I'm going to do that is really the last two I have are kind of bonuses, but the last one of this main thing is just making a list. And I kind of relate this to something I did recently, which was a gratitude dump where you just keep writing and you write down all these things that you're thankful for. And you can fill up, you know, a page or a ton of stuff just over and over, like a bunch of people you're grateful for and things in your life you're grateful for. I always think that's a really good list to do if you're having a bad day, because there's things to be grateful for. And just once you start going and you keep going, that point when you're like, oh, I have so many more things to write, that's the point where it starts to feel good for me anyways. But making just a list, and it could just be, this is something I kind of suggest doing before you do your SMART goals, is just writing down a list of all the things that you would like to do or see in your life or that kind of stuff, in the year. So places you'd like to go, people you want to visit, experiences you want to have. I have so many lists, again, in my bullet journal, and some of them are separated by themes and some of them are not. So I have a travel page. So if that's something you're really into, like writing down a bunch of places you'd like to go. And then if you have like 10 places on your list in your SMART goal for the year, you could say, I want to visit 5 places that are on my list. So then you're not being like too crazy out there and you're recognizing what you want to do, but it's kind of tying it up in a nice bow. So I like just doing the big list of a bunch of things you'd want to do. Travel is usually the easiest one for me to think on, but there are a lot, like I said before, with reading or fitness or money, those are big ones, or things you want to buy even. That's a list on my bullet journal. Again, I keep a list of so many things. This one I feel like it's kind of in between the daydreamer side and the analytical side, because I love making lists. And if you're kind of overwhelmed by like a giant list of things, then maybe this one wouldn't be your favorite. But I like writing down just a ton of stuff. Each year I have been doing, like I turned 25 this year, so I wrote down 25 things I wanted to do. Corona did not help with that list, but if you wanted to do something like that, like, you know, 25 things, like smaller things. So this would be like, oh, I want to go to the coast, or I want to, well, that, for me, that's easy. Some people live in the middle of the country. It's not that easy, but you know, I want to go camping. I want to, another one I really wanted to do this year was go to Canada again, and that's off the list because of Corona. So, you know, that list just didn't turn out very good, but it was a good list. It just wasn't good for the year. Bad timing. And my birthday is in the beginning of March, so it was just not the best to look at. But you can do like a list of a bunch of small things you'd like to get done. That might seem silly for like a New Year's resolution. It's like, oh, I want to go camping. Like, that's not really a resolution, but you can have a whole little list of things you want to do. And I think that's kind of fun to have a bunch of little things, because sometimes we know that we want to do these things and then we just forget about them. And then 3 years pass and you're like, we never did that. And I wanted to do that. We had time and we're just sitting here on a weekend being like, what are we going to do? And we're just going to watch Netflix again. So that's something I really encourage with traveling or just little things that you'd like to do, experience in your local area maybe. So that's something that's kind of fun, is just making a list. And it's kind of up to you how many things you want to put on that list. I like it because I'm in my 20s and 25 is kind of a nice number. Last year I did 24 things, but when I'm like, oh God, when I'm like in my 40s, like I probably won't do 40 things to want to do. Who knows what I'll be like then. So that's the last one. So we did SMART goals, vision board, journaling or scripting, spreadsheets and habit tracking, and then making a list of like little things. So the last two things I'm going to suggest are kind of bonuses, because the first one is not specific to a 1 year 2021 style goals. And then the other one will be more of recapping 2020. So I really like to have a bucket list And if you haven't seen the movie The Bucket List, get on it because it's so good. But having a bucket list handy is something that I have enjoyed having in my bullet journal. Once again, the bullet journal's back. But a bullet journal has so many purposes, and a bucket list is kind of something that's really long-term goals, long-term experiences, and you don't expect them to get done, you know, in the next 6 months, in the next year. They could, but it's nice to have these overarching, farther out things to look at. So I have that in my Bujo, and I keep that handy. So I think that's another list to do if you haven't done one before. And I know when I was in college, we had some speakers come and talk to us, and they wrote down some of their big goals. And this guy said he wrote down all these big goals that he had. He kept it in a piece of paper in his wallet. So you don't have to be a journaler like me. You don't have to make it the background on your phone. It doesn't need to be a hodgepodge collage somewhere, but it can be something just really simple like that. Or in the notes on your phone app, like no one's going to see it except for you, but just having those somewhere. I think a bucket list is a great thing to just think about. And if you're daydreaming about 2021 goals, then daydreaming about farther out goals, I mean, why not? We have a lot to hopefully look forward to in 2021 if the world goes back to normal, and hopefully then we can just move forward and do even bigger and better things. And the last thing I wanted to suggest people doing is writing down a list of accomplishments from this year or things that you went through. And this is a lot more reflection from this year. So, I mean, you could either do this before you start setting your 2021 goals, or it can be in unison with doing those or after. But I think it is important to take some time to reflect, because the years go by so quickly and we kind of just forget so much. And this year, especially, I feel like it went by so quickly. Like, I have no idea what even happened this year. And without like celebrating major holidays, like not doing the 4th of July and then not having a normal football season, like those are really big like time markers for me for the year. And so having Christmas here, it does not feel like Christmas, because it just like it should still be spring. Like, we didn't get to do all of these things. There was no baseball season, so I don't know what to do with my life. So that's a little tangent, but writing down anything that you accomplished this year, checking in on any of your goals that you set for 2020 and seeing the ones that you did accomplish or the ones that you didn't accomplish, and kind of trying to figure out why that was. I know a lot of people might have set different goals that got sidestepped due to the virus, whether that's like financially or fitness goals for sure. I mean, the quarantine 15 is real. So I think it's really important to reflect on some of those things and writing down accomplishments that you've had. And even if it feels like it was all bad, like you can write down all the bad things that happened and then at the end just be like, and I'm still here. So I live to tell the tale, and sometimes that's all you got. And that's still something to accomplish. You know, if you didn't get coronavirus, there you go. There's something you accomplished. If you got it and you're listening to this right now and you survived, you know, there's something to say you accomplished. So that is, I mean, reflection is really something I've talked about a little bit, but I like to set goals. I like doing that stuff a little bit more than reflecting, actually. Reflecting is something I've had to work on a lot more, but I enjoy doing it when I'm trying to understand how it can help me achieve those goals that I really want to. So if you're kind of a goal-oriented person, or you're getting ready for 2021 and you're like, I think there's a lot of stuff I want to do, and you might be kind of overwhelmed, I think you'll love this episode. I really encourage you to try maybe one of the ones that you haven't done before. I gave a lot of different styles of goal setting in here. So I think that's really fun. And really the most important thing to keep these is the tracking. So whether you want to do that in your journal, in a spreadsheet, You know, however, just keeping it on a picture on your wall, a calendar, marking off the days of something, I don't know, but staying consistent with some of these things, that's where New Year's resolutions just get a bad rap because they're like, I'm gonna go to the gym every day. And then it's 3 days in and you don't go, and then you just give up on your goal. So I like setting, you know, longer term goals with something at the end. It doesn't have to be an everyday habit. It's kind of more these like bigger things to accomplish that are kind of cumulative. So hope you like this one. It was definitely different, but I was talking about a bunch of stuff that I like, and I know I was talking a little fast, so hope you like it. Next week, we're having a guest. It's gonna be fun, and we're talking about gratitude, but this week we're talking about goal setting. And I know it's a little early, so I sometimes do these at like the very end of the year, but I wanted to do it now because it's a little bit of time to really see which one of these styles you like, and you can try out a couple different things. Because sometimes you'll get to like January 1st and you're like, oh, I don't have any New Year's resolutions or New Year's goals, and then you don't set any. And it is such a great time to set goals. And even if you don't get it done by January 1st, you can start over whenever. But these are the different ways I like to start it out. So have a great week. If you really like this one, share it on social media. Give it a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. I say all the things, you know all the things. Tag us at Pish Posh Pod on Instagram. Follow us on Instagram. Visit the website too. There's lots of good stuff on the website, pishposhpodcast.com. And have a fabulous week and party on! Thank you for listening to Pish Posh with Lindsay Wilson. You can listen to the podcast and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, listen on Spotify and wherever podcasts are found, and follow the pod on Instagram at Pish Posh Pod to stay up to date on all of our great content. Check it out!